Emily Hendrick is a health behavior and health education doctoral student and a NICHD trainee in the Population Research Center at UT Austin. She looks at the social determinants of women's health across the reproductive years. She holds a master's degree in public health with an emphasis in maternal and child health and has worked for over a decade in the planning, implementation, and evaluation of maternal and child adolescent health promotion programs in the U.S. as well as Latin America. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. We're going to really change gears here. So as Nathan mentioned, my name is Emily Hendrick, and I'm a third-year doctoral student in the Health Behavior and Health Education program in the Department of Kinesiology and Health Education in the College of Education at UT Austin. So I'm not even in a school of public health there because we don't have one. And I'm also an NICHD predoctoral trainee. And along with my mentor in that program, Joe Potter, we've been exploring the influences of nativity and country of education on Mexican-American women's breastfeeding practices the first 10 months postpartum, and so I'm going to share some of that work with you all today. And I have no relationships to disclose, but I do want to thank, as a NICHD predoctoral trainee, my work in part is funded by a training grant that goes to the Population Research Center at UT Austin, so I want to acknowledge and thank them, and also acknowledge and thank the Texas Policy Evaluation Project, the faculty, staff, and the participants that are participating in the research that's going on there, as all of the data that are a part of the study that I'm working with come from that program, and I'll talk a little bit more about them later. So today I'll talk a little bit about the motivation behind this research, some background on Mexican-American women and breastfeeding, which led to our current study, the Texas Policy Evaluation Project, some of our preliminary results, and our conclusions and recommendations that we have based on those. So the purpose of the current study is to assess whether an easily measured, easily interpreted measure of acculturation predicts Mexican-American women's breastfeeding behaviors the first 10 months postpartum. And that measure is nativity combined with the country of her last year of education. And so, first off, why is it so important that we understand Mexican-American women's breastfeeding practices? Well, as we know, Hispanic and Latino women make up the largest and one of the fastest growing minority racial and ethnic groups in the United States. And of that group, over 60% of them are Mexican-American women. So we're talking about a really, really big and important minority racial and ethnic population within our country. And not only is it a really big and important population, the demographics of this population are currently changing in that now that we're seeing declines in immigration, we're starting to see a larger proportion of Mexican-American individuals that are born in the U.S. And so not only the demographics, but also the sociocultural context of what it means to be a Mexican-American woman in the United States today is changing. So we want to understand how those changes might influence behaviors, including breastfeeding. So unfortunately, there's not a lot of great data on women's breastfeeding practices by country of origin. But as a whole, Hispanic and Latino women historically have very high breastfeeding rates compared to women of other races and ethnicities, both initiation and duration. However, when you start to have a more nuanced look at Hispanic and Latino women's breastfeeding behaviors, you see that these vary a lot by what people are calling acculturation. And that varies a lot how people are measuring that. Most often it's just nativity. Was she born in the United States or outside of the United States? And there's a whole range of measures that people use to try to assess this very nebulous concept. And what we've seen is that the findings are really mixed around how this is potentially influencing women's breastfeeding behaviors. Some literature shows that lower acculturation levels, or the stronger a woman is connected to her country of origin, the more likely she is to breastfeed and for longer durations. Whereas other literature is showing that women with lower acculturation levels actually are at elevated risk for very early supplementation, or a phenomenon known as las dos, or las dos cosas. Who's heard of las dos? Okay, about half of us. So for those who haven't heard of las dos, it basically just means both breastfeeding and formula feeding, and very, very early after birth. And when in focus groups, talking with women about the reasoning why behind they choose las dos or las dos cosas, women have talked about the idea that, well, with las dos, I'm giving my child the best of both worlds. I'm giving my child the nutrition, all the great nutrition that's coming from breast milk, plus the whatever additional nutrition they can get from the formula, so we're getting the best of both worlds. Also, women talk about, well, I'm not producing enough milk myself for the nutritional needs of my babe, so I have to supplement with formula. And similarly, well, what I've noticed is that when I supplement with formula, my babe stays fuller longer. And then some women just talk about logistic reasons, like, you know what, I'm going back to work. Logistically, it makes sense to give less dose. So this is a really common phenomenon among Hispanic and Latina women in the U.S., so much so that a lot of groups have started creating educational campaigns around this concept. And this one is from the Massachusetts Breastfeeding Coalition. Do we have any? All right. Woo!
I made that.
Did you really? Wow. Okay, I'll have to see who let me use it. Someone give me permission to use it. And so what this says is, las dos, mom, you already have the only two I need. And then underneath it says, if you give me formula, yay! If you give me formula, you won't produce enough milk for me. And so it's trying to debunk that myth that it's actually that you already don't have enough milk, and trying to educate, actually, if you're supplementing, then you're not going to be having enough milk. And there's a similar one, which you probably also made, that talks about how breast milk already has all the vitamins that I need to be healthy. So this is great that you guys are already all over this. So when we took a deep dive into the acculturation breastfeeding literature, what we really saw is that a lot of the literature looking at acculturation focuses on women's intentions to breastfeed, or whether they initiate breastfeeding, but not duration. And if they do assess duration, it's for very short periods, maybe up to 6 weeks. And if they do look at duration, maybe they don't assess supplementation. They're also combining women from different countries of origin, neglecting the fact that there may be very different social norms and practices based on your country of origin. Also, one thing I found very interesting, I'll see some acculturation articles that will look at foreign-born Hispanic Latina women and compare them to white women rather than foreign-born to U.S.-born. And then also, like I mentioned, the findings are really mixed. And this might be in part due to the way that we measure acculturation. Some of our measures are very simple, very crude, where she was born. They might say, how many years have you lived in the U.S.? But if we think about a 40-year-old mom who's lived in the U.S. for 10 years and a 20-year-old mom who's lived in the U.S. for 10 years, that might mean very different things for how that those 10 years might be influencing her norms and practices. So then we have measures that get very nuanced that go into kind of media you listen to or participate in, what percent of the time you're thinking in what language, and they can get very, very specific and nuanced, and she has to do a lot of self-evaluation to determine acculturation level. So this led to our current study, which is to assess whether this very easily measured and easily interpreted measure of acculturation can predict Mexican-American women's breastfeeding behaviors the first 10 months postpartum, which is simply a combination of the country where she was born and the country where she completed her final year of education. And the reason why we chose nativity and country of education was for a couple of reasons. One, as I talked about, acculturation is a really tricky concept to measure. Also, what they've seen with this measure, they've seen that it predicts Mexican-American women's healthcare utilization practices and contraception behaviors, but to our knowledge has never been used to assess breastfeeding behaviors. So we wanted to see if this measure translates into women's breastfeeding behaviors. So now turning to our methods, our data come from the Postpartum Contraception Study, which is a component of the Texas Policy Evaluation Project conducted by researchers at UT Austin. It was a prospective cohort study of 800 postpartum women recruited from 3 hospitals in Central and South Texas. All 3 hospitals do have breastfeeding promotion programs with bilingual staff providing breastfeeding support and education while women are in the hospital after delivery. And women aged 18 to 44 years who wanted to delay childbearing for the first 24 months were eligible for the study and completed structured interviews at delivery, 3 months, 7 months, and 10 months postpartum. Women were excluded if they or their infant had a health condition that was contraindicated to breastfeeding. And for the current study, we only included the women that self-identified as Hispanic or Latina and were born in either the U.S. or Mexico in our analytic sample, which led to 593 women. for our breastfeeding measures, participants reported whether they currently were breastfeeding at delivery, 3, 7, and 10 months postpartum, and determine exclusive breastfeeding behaviors at 3 months postpartum. The currently breastfeeding women were asked if they had ever given their child anything besides breast milk. For country of origin, we created 3 categories, whether women were born in the U.S. and completed in their education in the U.S. was the first one, born in Mexico, completed their education in the U.S. was the second one, and born and educated in Mexico was the third. And for our covariates, we chose potential covariates for our multivariate models based on prior research noting the associations with women's breastfeeding practices. And we looked at both constant covariates, so factors that were assessed at one time point, as well as changing covariates, which were situational factors that were assessed at multiple time points. All of our analyses were conducted in Stata 13.0. We conducted chi-square tests to determine the bivariate relationships of participant descriptive characteristics. And then we conducted a series of likelihood ratio tests to determine the combination of covariates that we needed to make the best fitting models for our logistic regression models for each of our time points. So on to our results. As we see, the descriptive characteristics, those covariates among the women from these 3 groups, they did vary a lot. So it was really important that we did include these in our consider these in our multivariate models so that we can really get at that concept of acculturation and not just get at the fact that these 3 different groups of women tend to have these different characteristics. So we did control for all of these. So when we look at our bivariate models, we see right away, right out of the gates, if we had only looked at nativity, we would have totally missed this, because the women that were educated in the U.S., regardless of their nativity, had very similar breastfeeding patterns. You can see those red and blue lines. Whereas the women that were educated in Mexico were breastfeeding at higher rates at all time points. And if we take a snapshot at just at 3 months, you can see the women from the orange bar are those that were not breastfeeding, the purple bar were breastfeeding but were supplementing, and the red bar were those that were exclusively breastfeeding. So again, if you just look at the women that were not breastfeeding versus if they were, we see really similar patterns among the women that were educated in the U.S. However, when we look at just the breastfeeders, we see a different story. Now, what we see is that the U.S. women and the Mexico women actually have a similar pattern, whereas the women that were born in Mexico and educated in the U.S. Are supplementing at much higher rates. So this is very curious to us that we didn't see the same pattern when we looked at duration versus exclusivity. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So now we turn to our multivariate models, and really we see the same thing. Those women, regardless of nativity, if they were born in the U.S., they were breastfeeding they had the same predicted probabilities. So now we're considering all of those sociocultural aspects that I talked about that vary among the participants. And whereas the women from Mexico had higher probabilities, and the same pattern we saw in the 3 months. So quickly, my takeaway, just that considering country of education, we haven't done that before in the breastfeeding literature. Obviously, there's something there. And for future research, a few things. One, we want to make sure that we're comparing this measure to other measures. How does it hold up? And get at that concept of exclusivity versus duration. What's happening here? Why aren't we seeing the same influence? And I wanted to talked about one of the limitations of our study was how we did measure exclusivity. We just asked if they'd given their infant anything besides breast milk, but we know that that means very, very different things if we have a mom who is supplementing with formula versus a mom who's starting to introduce foods. And we didn't distinguish between those types of feeding. So we want to make sure we establish that and that we get at that very early concept, because we only assessed exclusivity at 3 months. Thank you.
I wanted to make sure that there was a couple minutes for questions. Any questions? Brianna? So the question was whether WIC participation was assessed, and the answer to that is no.
But they're putting together another study, so all the feedback that you give, I'm going to take it to the study team and make sure they ask these very important questions. So thank
you. In the back?
I saw your analysis correctly. Did you do 3 individual logistic regression analysis?
And did you run a polyclonic logistic regression with all three of them in there?
So the question was around methods, around whether or not three separate logistic regression models were run, or whether a multinomial logistic regression was run.
So for these, which are just our preliminary.
Actually, can you answer in the mic, please? Thanks.
So for these, which are just our preliminary analyses, we did logistic regressions at each time point, and then we took the subsample, which is why we didn't see statistical significance for that final group, because it was a smaller group, just the women that were breastfeeding, and just a logistic for whether they were breastfeeding or not. Our next step is to do repeated measures, multi-level, so that we're taking into account the autocorrelation that's happening from baseline, 3 months, 7 months, and 10 months, and also doing a multinomial for that just 3 months to consider also the women that were not breastfeeding and to see what your probability of falling in any of those three groups. So this is our preliminary, that's our next step.
Okay.